Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Medino.
If you have your Bibles, I just want you to be ready because I'm going to read quite a few scriptures. And I'll be basing myself with the King James, the New King James Version and the New Living Translation. But if you will open your Bibles as you're standing, James chapter 4, verse 8. James chapter 4, verse 8. The title of my message this morning is Keep Longing for God. Keep longing for God. How many know that it's important to long or desire for God? How many here, when you're hungry, you're hungry? Don't act shy, like you don't grub, you don't eat. When you're hungry, you're hungry. When you're hungry, you want to eat. You want to tear it up. You're hungry. This morning, I want to share with you, keep longing for God. Stay hungry for God. In the spiritual things of God, with God. And I want to read this scripture. I'm basing myself in what it says in the beginning. Verse 8, please. It says, look at verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I think they have it in verse 7. There it is, verse 8. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Don't worry, I'm not going to base myself on that, so... But it's still the Bible. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. But I want to base myself. Look what he says, verse 8. Draw near to God. The New Living Translation says this. Or come close to God. So you have to draw near to God. Or you and I have to get close to God. It is your responsibility that we go to God. And the moment that we draw near to God or we come close to God, the Bible says, and he will, God, draw near to who? What does it say? Near to who? To you. Not your neighbor, not no one else. When you say, you know what, I'm going to draw near to God, I'm going to get closer to God. God then says, okay, I'm going to get close to you. I'm going to draw myself to you. I want to start off by saying, church, that God knows if you are hungry for more of him. And any time that you are hungry for the spiritual, God, I want to tell you this morning, church, it will make a difference in your life. When a son or daughter of God is hungry for God, it will make a difference in your life. When you are hungry for God, you will do whatever it takes to get closer and hungrier for God. You're going to do whatever it takes, and no one can stop you. And I want to say also this morning that God always responds. The example is this in James 4:8. God will always respond to spiritual hunger. God sees, God knows if you are hungry for him. Another thing that you'll find in the Bible also is that God wants to be wanted. God is a gentleman. God is a gentleman in the way that if you want God, God will show up. God is respectful. God wants to be desired. But if you don't want God, God is okay with that. Because God never forces anybody. But if you want God, God wants you. God wants to be desired. He will not force you. He will not force anybody. And as we read in James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, draw near to God. So this morning, church, is that it's, if you want God, you have to draw yourself to him. You have to get close to God. And the moment you take that step of faith, God will draw near to you. How many want more of God this morning? Amen. How many want to get closer to God this morning? Psalms 110, verse 3, it says, look what the Bible says. You got to be willing. In Psalms 110, verse 3, the New Living Translation says this. He says, when you go to war, your people will serve you willingly. Notice what I said. Your people will serve you willingly. No one can force you. You got to have the willingness to serve. In this case, it is to serve the Almighty God. And in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, it says this. I love this scripture. The New King James Version, the Bible says, if you are willing, see church, you got to be willing. Every day you got to be willing that you are hungry and that you want more of God. But, there's a but. When you are willing, the Bible says, and obedient. If you are willing and obedient, look what the Bible says. You shall eat the good of the land. I don't know about you, but I want to eat the good of the land. I want to eat the good of the land. The New Living Translation says, you shall eat the good of the land, or you shall eat plenty. How many know that when you hunger for God, God will give you plenty? God will keep you satisfied. And I think that that's one of the key ingredients, church, is that God is looking for a church that is hungry for him. Because when you are hungry for him, you will be satisfied. And I want to say this, church. Anytime that you want more of God, you will live a satisfied life. You will eat the good of the land. In other words, God will give you so much. God will bless you so much. God will give you everything that he has to you that all you don't need anything else because you have God. But you got to have a hunger. What is a hunger? A hunger is a need or a desire for something. And I can assure you that you're here this morning and you might be asking, well, what is it that I need? Or what is it that I desire? I want to remind you, church, that if you get hungry for God, many of the other things that you think that you need will go away. I don't think you caught it. Everything else will go away. There's something about when you hunger for the spiritual things or you want more of God, God begins to do something in you. They say that hunger draws your attention. Hear me. Hunger draws your attention to weakness in you. Have you ever been weak? You don't understand. Have you ever been weak when you don't eat? You get headaches. You want to eat everybody. Amen. You go out of whack. How do they say hangrier? A weakness caused by the need for something. And then it urges you forward to attend or possess what you hunger for that. And this morning, church, is that this is my prayer, is that you hunger more for God. You might say, you know what, I know God. Or maybe you'll say, I'm okay with God right now. I don't need that much of God. I don't need that much of Jesus. I'm good. But something changes, church. When you say, or you have a hunger, or you have an emptiness in your life, maybe your spiritual life, something that is missing, and it might be that you need more of God. And I want to tell you, church, that any time that you hunger for God or you want more of Jesus, because I really believe that any time that you're hungry, you want more of Jesus, God's about to do something mighty and powerful in your life. And I want to tell you that God will never disappoint you. I'm sure that you found out already that many things or even people might have disappointed you. But I'm here to tell you that when you hungry or you want more of God, God will never disappoint you. Because God will always satisfy what you most need. That's God. Some of you might thinking, you know what? I need this, or I need that, or this is missing in my life. I need more money. Nothing wrong with money. Or I need a relationship. Nothing wrong with the relationship. Or I need this, or I need that. No, you know, let me tell you what you need. You need more of God. You need more of Jesus. You want your tank to be filled with the Holy Spirit. More of His presence. More of His power. More of His anointing. More of God. And He never disappoints. Have you ever been in the presence of God? Has the God ever touched you? Has God ever touched your heart? He visited you. And He did great things in your life. He did great things and marvelous things in your life. Because the power of God was present. He took away every burden. He took away every sickness. He took away every obstacle, whatever you were facing. Because God came into that place. The love of God. There's a scripture where the Bible talks about the tribe of Judah. And the Bible says that they made a covenant to what? To seek God. See, church, we are November. We're about to come into December. Even maybe you're here this morning, you're thinking, you know what? I'm okay. But I can assure you, church, that when you get hungry for God and you want to change and you want God to change you, you want God to change your heart, you want God to change your circumstances, your marriage, your home, or whatever it is that you might face. And there's something about that. When you want change, let me tell you, church, you need more of Jesus. And I'm not talking about a religion. I'm not talking about a building. I'm not talking about I'm talking about having a genuine fellowship relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that they entered into a covenant to what? To seek the Lord God of their fathers. But the Bible says with all of their heart and with all of their soul. 2 Chronicles 15:12. And I would encourage you, church, that you say, you know what? 2026 is going to be the best year of my life. Why? Because I'm going to put God first. Because I want more of God. And I'm not saying for you to wait to 2026, because you can desire and get hungrier for God now, right now. Don't go by after the tamales, after the pozole. Then, no, it's now. That's what I like about David. The Bible says that when Saul was removed. You know why Saul was removed as king? Because he didn't desire God no more. He didn't desire it. He wasn't. Because, listen, church, when you walk in the will of God, when you're seeking his presence, when you are hungry for God, you want to please God. And you walk righteously. Saul came to the point. He went so low. He wasn't seeking God. He was only seeking what he wanted. Hear me, church. Be careful. When you get to the point where you're not seeking God, but you're only seeking what you want. What you want. What your flesh wants. And Saul, that's what he did. He went so low. He departed himself so far away from God that the Bible says he started seeking and going to the mediums. Witchcraft. I want you to say this, sir. When he was what? When he was the king of Israel. And sometimes we think, I'm the king or I'm the queen. Ain't nobody gonna move me. If God's not in the picture, be careful. Mercy. And the Bible says, and when he had removed him, he raised up for them. Who did he raise up? A David. Let me tell you, church, if you don't get hungry for God, if you don't want more of God, it might be, you can be removed. And God has a David waiting. And the Bible says that David, he raised up for them, David as a king, to whom also gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. See, God is looking this morning, church. This is you and me. That we be people or a man after God's own heart. That's why you're hungry for more of God. God, I want to be like you. I want your heart. Change me. Change me, Lord. Build me up. Mold me. That's why let me help you, church. That's why in my walk with God, whenever I'm facing something, what I do, like the Bible says, give thanks and everything, it's because I know that God is molding me, God is working in me, and he's making me to be the man of God that he desires for me to be. You want God? You want God to use you? You want to be blessed? You want to walk in God's will? Guess what? God's going to shape you. He's going to shape you to his image. But praise God,
Because we're doing something correctly. We're walking in His will. We want more of God. We want to live for God. We want to shine for Jesus.
And David, the Bible says, he was a man after my own heart. And look what he says. It says, he will do all my will. See, there's some that are not willing to go and do His will. Okay, Lord, let's make a deal. Look. It's going to be 80% my will and 30% your will.
Man,
it doesn't work that way, church. He wants all the way. Trying to give God percentages. 30, 30 for you, God, and 80 for me. No, God wants you to go all in. I said, God wants you to go all in. Hallelujah. The deeper you go, the more you will find. I said, the deeper you go with God, the more you will find. But now you're asking, but how did David do it? How was David, King David, able to be a man after God's heart and do His will? Well, the Bible gives us an answer. Let's look how David did it. You want to know how David did it? How King David did it? Psalm 63. Look at Psalm 63. We're going to look at verse 1, verse 2, and verse 5 from the New King James Version. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look what he says. Oh God, You are my God. First thing, church, you got to recognize that God is your God. Every day, He's my God. And then he says, early I will what? Seek you. Hear me out, church, not Facebook. Staying quiet on me. It's getting good. Not breakfast. Come on, Pastor. I got to get my breakfast. My 8 waffles and 6 eggs. No, he says, you are my God. Early I will what? Seek you. I'm just going to ask you, when was the last time when you woke up? The moment you woke up, you said, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for another day. Thank you, God, for another day. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. Because many are not here today, church. But guess what? You're still here this morning. I said, you're still here this morning. And if I was you, I'd be praising Him. I'd be glorifying Him. I'd be saying hallelujah. Because God has been so good. But notice that He says, early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you, God. Your soul has to do with your emotions. But notice that he says, my soul thirsts for you. And he says, my flesh, which means my body. Notice what David says. David's getting up early. He says, my flesh, my body. See, many of you, many times, like this morning, you maybe you battle. Your flesh, your body wanted to be in bed with 3 blankets, a beanie, gloves. But notice that he says, my flesh longs for you. And he says, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Let me tell you, church, I'm going to give you a key this morning. There's going to be times in your life where you're going to be dry and thirsty. And you're going to think, I need this or I need that. But what you need is Jesus. I said, what you need is God. What you need is Jesus. You need Jesus. Where there is no water, You need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because it will happen, church. Well, one day you're joyful, you're glorifying God, you exalt, you sing with joy, and suddenly there's a dry land. But that's where you seek more of Him. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And He refreshes you. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary. What does it say? To see your power and your glory. Let me tell you, church. It can happen here, but anytime that you're hungry for God, you will see His power. I said you will see His power. And you will see His glory. Power. God will show up. God will do the miraculous. You need a miracle this morning. Guess what? If you're hungry for God, you seek God. God can do a miracle in your life. You will see His glory and you will see His power. Because that's the God that we serve. Woo, see His power. See His glory. See His mighty hand. And then look at verse 5. Verse 5. Hallelujah. He says, my soul shall be satisfied. I'm telling you. You don't want to believe me? The more you get hungry for God, you will live 100% satisfied life. See, that's why some of you are not satisfied in life. I said you're not satisfied with life. Because you're lacking. You're lacking. And you think, no, I need 2 Red Bulls. I need this. I need to make more overtime. I need to, you know, we come with all kinds of stuff. God gives you satisfaction. Because when you get satisfied with God, God will give you wisdom. God will give you revelation. The Holy Spirit will direct you how to do it. How to be a better husband. How to be a better wife. How to do this. How to do that. How to grow this. God will reveal to you. But the problem is that we want to do everything without God. Oh, I can do it myself. I'm smart enough. I'm intelligent. I'm educated. And there's nothing wrong with that, church. To be educated or that you know how to make money or you know how to do this. But a kind times where you're dry. But there's something about that the Bible says, my soul shall be satisfied. Look what it says. With what? As with marrow. And fatness. You know what that means? That's not just a little appetizer, church. That's not just a little 4-piece nugget from Mickey D's. No, 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 no. We're talking about the richest and the best feasting. You didn't get it. With God, God will always give you the best, the richest, the tastiest. For what? So that you can feast. Hallelujah. He says, my soul is going to be satisfied. As with marrow and fatness, with the richest feast God can give you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In other words, God gives you the best. God will always give you the best. And because God gives you the best, guess what? The Bible says, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. That word joyful means shout. You know that's the reason why sometimes we shout or we praise God? Because God has been so good to you, good to me.
God has blessed me. God has helped me. God has strengthened me. God has done so much for me. I just got to shout. I am joyful. I am joyful because God gives me joy. God gives me joy. God gives me lips to praise him and honor him and exalt him because he is worthy. He is worthy. Give the Lord a clap. Give Jesus a clap this morning. You know what that means? There's times, church, that you might not have anything, but you have Jesus. Hallelujah. You might not have everything, but you got peace. That's why you praise him. That's why you're joyful. That's why people don't understand. How is it? How do you keep that energy? Why are you so joyful, so peaceful? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, lives in me. It's the real stuff. Real stuff. The OG stuff. None of that fake stuff. Wannabe. Temporary. 5 minute. No. This is everlasting. So let me ask you, do you want to eat? Do you want to eat? I said, do you want to eat? Psalms 107, verse 9. Psalms 107, verse 9, he says. Look what he says in the Bible, Psalms 107, verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul. In other words, the soul that is thirsty, God satisfies. Don't ever forget that, church. Anytime in your spiritual life that you sense that you're bored, that things ain't going the way you want, remember, you're thirsty. Go to God. For he satisfies the longing soul. And he, what does he say? And he fills the hungry soul with what? With goodness. Anytime that you hunger for God, God will feed your soul with what? Goodness. I don't know about you, church, but I'm getting everything that's good from God. Everything, all his goodness is mine. All his goodness is yours, church. If you want more of God, guess what? God's going to give you good things. I said God's going to give you good things, not bad things. He's going to give you good things. Even Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, he said, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what Jesus said. Blessed are those, or God blesses those who hunger. Hear me, church. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then Jesus said this, for they shall be filled. In other words, they shall be, that's the Greek word, satisfy. I'm telling you, church, you're looking in the wrong places. Did you hear me? You're looking in the wrong places. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. Don't. I better chill. Go to Jesus. I was going to send you somewhere, but no, go to Jesus. And he's going to give you satisfaction. You're going to be satisfied in your relationship with God, number one. You're going to be satisfied. Hear me, church. See, some of you are not getting, you're just looking at me like if I'm out of this world. You're going to be satisfied in your marriage. That's because you need more of Jesus. See, you're not getting it. Many of you here this morning, you're not going to Jesus. You're just playing religion. We're talking about here about fellowship, intimacy with God. Guarantee everything changes. That's why I'm cool with my relationship with God and with my wife and my children. You know why? Because I have a deep relationship by His grace with God. That's why I could love my people. I could love the church. I could love my enemies because I have a relationship with Jesus.
You don't have a relationship with, you don't hunger for God. Guess what? You're going to be cold. That's why you are cold with people. You're cold with your spouse.
It's getting quiet, which it figures.
That's why I check myself. When I'm acting weird, I'm going off the tracks, I know that I'm not seeking God. Come on, church, be real. Be real. Let's keep it real. But when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're full of power, you're full of love, you're full of His presence, watch out. I said, watch out. You're the man and the woman of God that God has called you to be.
You have to be hungry. God is looking for you. He wants a relationship with you. You might be saying, me, yes, He wants to have a relationship with you. Just as crazy as you are, He wants to have a relationship with you. Because God can fix that craziness.
You didn't get it. I said God can fix your craziness.
He's a healer. Remember that. God will fix. God will fix. You need a change of plugs, He'll change them. You need an old change, He'll change it.
And that's what I like about the Lord.
And you ought to, if I was you, I'd be saying, you know what? That's me right there. I'm already at 75,000 miles. I need some change. Hallelujah. And some of you are going to the wrong mechanic. Go to Jesus, the mechanic. I said, go to Jesus, the mechanic of all mechanics. You're still going to that 199 mechanic. All he do is lie to you. Oh, you need a belt, you need brakes, and you don't need none of that. Any mechanics here? I'm sorry. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the...
But see, God, hear me, church. God loves you. I don't care. Look, if you keep it real, if you're saying, you know what? That's me right there. I'm all jacked up. You know what? I'm out of hand. I'm acting up. I'm being weird. God can help you. Hear me, church. God's not through with you. And quit looking at your neighbor. I'm talking to you. God's not through with you. God is not through with you. God has great things in for you. Matter of fact, Jesus said in the book of Revelations, chapter 3, verse 20, He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. See, some of you don't want to open the door. See, He's knocking your heart, the door of your heart. Open it. Open it. He's not a collector. And if He is, he paid your debt already. I said He paid your debt already. And He says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door... All of us, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, which He does because you're a believer in Christ, I'm sure you hear His voice. I'm sure that He's, you know, rubbing on you, messing with your heart. You know, He's moving in you. And He says, I will come in Him. If you open the door, He will come in. But He's not just going to come in and stand and stare at you. No, the Bible says He will come in and He will dine with you.
Woo, how would you like that? Jesus dining with you.
That's why you got to give Him the best. I said you got to give Him the best. And He says He will dine with you and He with me.
In other words, this is what it means. A New Living Translation says it this way. He will share a meal with you as friends. See, we forget about this, church. Jesus is not your enemy. He's your friend. I said, Jesus is not your enemy. He's your friend. Jesus is your friend. He's your friend. He's your friend. A friend is going to speak facts on you. A friend is going to tell you how it is. He's going to tell you how it is. He's going to tell you. Look. Don't get it twisted. Right here. Let's work on this right here. He wants to fellowship with you. But guess what? You're still at the table. Hallelujah. You're still at the table. He's not telling you, hey, leave, get out of here. No. He's telling you, he's talking to you. You're fellowshipping with him. He understands you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're facing. Because he's dining with you. Now I'm going to finish already. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish with. I'm going to throw this in. Are you ready? Be careful with your circle. Tell your neighbor, be careful with your circle. Here, listen, church. Keep your circle small. Keep your circle of friends small. Be careful who you allow in your circle. Because it will affect you, your end time potential. And I know we like to get spiritual in this part, but Pastor, they need Jesus. I got two answers for you. Number one, pray for them. Number two, when the opportunity comes, tell them about Jesus. Why, church? Because if you just let anybody hear me, are you ready? I don't know if you're going to handle this. Because if you don't do that, those people, number one, their language, the gossip, the carnality, worldly habits will affect. Not only are they going to affect you, they will impart on you. Be careful. Even, I've said this 100 times, even the secular world knows this. There's a saying. You become to the 5 closest people that you hang around with. You become like them. So it's up to you. You want to be hungry for God or you don't want to be hungry for God? That's why in Mark, notice Jesus. I want you to get this, church. Shake it off. Take 5 seconds. Shake it off. I know that one was heavy. Shake it off. Move your neck. Did you hear me? Move your... I didn't say neck. Knack. Shake it off. I'm good, Pastor. Preach. Talk to me. Talk to me more. I'm still here, Pastor. I haven't exited out. I'm still here. The Bible says in Mark 3:14, the New King James Version says that when Jesus appointed the 12 disciples, notice that it says that they might be what? With him. And that he might send them out to preach. I want you to get this. Before Jesus sent them out, he wanted them, the disciples, to what? To be with him. Let me tell you this, church. Don't do anything without him in his presence.
Many of us, we're going out. We're going out. I'm going out. I'm going out. I'm going out. But you haven't been with Jesus. I'm going out. I'm going here. But you haven't been with Jesus. Before you do anything, be with Jesus. Why? Because you might think about it twice. There's a scripture in the Bible that I love. When I was studying this, this scripture came to me. In Acts 4:13, I want you to put it up. Just give me Acts 4:13 real quick. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated. Look. So the people, when they saw them, they go, these Peter and John, they're not educated. Look what he says. They perceived that they were uneducated and what? Untrained men. So in other words, they didn't have education. That's what they perceived. Which in reality they did. They were with the teacher of all teachers, Jesus. But they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. But it doesn't finish. Look what the Bible says. They marveled. Everyone marveled at Peter and John. Why? And they realized that they had what? Been with Jesus. So let me ask you this morning. Have you been with Jesus lately? Have you been with Jesus lately? Because I'm going to tell you right now. People see when someone has been with Jesus. So be with Jesus. That's why there's times that there's no power, there's no anointing, there's no favor. Nothing good is happening in your life. Why? You haven't been with Jesus. And I finish with the scripture. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. Real quick. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24 and 25, the New King James Version. Look what he says. The Lord is what? My portion. Church, God has to be your portion. Or in other words, your inheritance. And then it says my soul. Because the Lord was his portion, says my soul. It says, therefore I hope in him. And then it says in verse 25, look what it says. The Lord, there's that word again. What? The Lord is good to those who wait for him. The soul who seeks him. The soul who seeks him. Those who wait for God or those who depend on him. The Lord is good. Depend on God. I said depend on God. And there's this phrase I want to read you that I don't know who to give credit to because I got it from someone. But it says this. And I want you to take this with you. Think about it. If you think the price of winning is too high, wait until you get the bill of regret. I'm going to say it again. If you think the price of winning, in other words, if you want to win in life, you want to win with God, you say, you know what? It's just too high. The price is too high. He says, wait until you get the bill of regret where you're going to regret it. Wow. Today is the day of salvation, church. Please stand.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.